But we are in Hebrews chapter 12. We are going to finish it off. And remember, there's a lot to build up, so let's dive into that. I'm not even going to go too much through the review of the book of Hebrews. Most of you have been here before. It's the superiority of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 12, we're picking up in verse 18. And I will tell you, we'll be jumping back to Deuteronomy in chapter 4 and chapter 5 at some point in here as well. Now, one thing we need to do is make sure the communication goes back and forth. Kathy has indicated on a couple times, I haven't said what book we were in and made that mistake. So if I don't have that, feel free. I mean, we're casual enough to raise hands and say, hey, I didn't quite get what book you were in. You know, I didn't remember the jump went from Deuteronomy back to Hebrews or something along those lines. So brace yourself because we will be doing that. I'm going to pick up in verse 18. We're really going to start with verse 25 tonight is where the exegesis is going to go. But I want to set the groundwork again. We'll start with verse 18. Remember, this was a contrast in two types of mountains the individuals came to. And we're looking strongly at what happened when they came out of the promised land, or out of Egypt, right? The Israelites came out of Egypt and they came to the base of a mountain. That was a really scary mountain. And that's what the author is alluding to here in verse 18. He says, for you have not come to the mountain, this is GodAtMountSinai.com, for you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burnt with fire. The whole idea is it was a physical location. And to blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. I can't imagine that overwhelming of a sight. We did read from Exodus 19. I'd take you back through it because it's such a great verse, but it takes a long time. But try to remember that this word should not be spoken to them anymore. They were so afraid that they begged that would happen. In verse 20, for they could not endure what was commanded. And as so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. Pop quiz, what was Moses afraid of? Two things. Well, one thing manifested in two ways. What was Moses afraid of? The destruction, God's anger that would lead to destruction of who? Hebrews, and in particular, his brother Aaron. Both of them would have died had Moses not interceded for them. Had Moses not stepped in and prayed, all of them would have died. Moses, both camps would have died, but everybody would have died had he not stepped in. And from that, we get this idea of the mediator in GodAtMountSinai.com. And then GodAtMountZion.com, verse 22. But you, that's believers, you have come to Mount Zion. Actually, let me backtrack. I can't say that that's all believers. But everybody who's heard the gospel has had an opportunity to come to Mount Zion. That's a better way of putting it, especially when you see the direction of the text. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, into the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. What is at Mount Zion? Grace and forgiveness. What's at Mount Sinai? The law. Mount Sinai, physical, can be touched. Mount Zion, spiritual, a future location for believers. And there's this contrast between the two experiences. Remember, frightening, scary, terrifying for those who weren't in an intimate relationship with God, because Moses was not afraid for his own life. All those things were going around Moses, lightnings and thunder and darkness and trumpets and voices and all this other stuff, and Moses was just like, this is where I want to be, in the presence of God. I want to be in a place that scares everybody else. Talk about loneliness. How's that for the spiritual mountaintop, where no one else can handle that? No one else even desires that. In fact, everyone else wants to run from it. You talk to God and you speak to us, but don't let us hear from God, lest we die. What a fascinating, fascinating picture. You've come to Mount Zion. Remember what Mount Zion was. It's an indication of heaven. Well, finally we get to www.godspeaks.com and then www.godshakes.com. And we'll talk about that. Verse 23, or 25, I'm sorry. We've got these two mountains, right? They come up to Mount Sinai over here. They come up to Mount Sinai. Oh, God, don't talk to us, we'll die. Okay? They come to Mount Zion. That was going to cost me. I usually have to pay royalties when I mention my kids from the pulpit. I usually ask for permission. But if we're going to spar, we're going to spar. Okay. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. Just camp on that. Do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on the earth. Follow me. Who are we talking about here? Who are those who refused him who spoke on the earth? Moses listened. Who refused God who spoke on the earth? What are we talking about when they're talking about speaking on the earth? Sinai or Zion? Sinai. Good. We're at a physical place on earth. Okay? What does he say? Don't refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on the earth. What did they do? The folks at Mount Sinai, what did they do? They refused him. They said, hey, we don't talk to us. Speak to the hand. Much more. Okay. If Sinai was bad, what happened to all those who refused him who spoke from the earth? What happened to all of them? 2.5 million people minus anybody under 20 and two others. They fed the birds. They became carcasses wandering in the desert. Why? Because they refused him who spoke on earth. They physically died. Oh, wait a minute. At a physical mountain, you don't listen, people spiritually die. Or physically die, I'm sorry. Let me give you a hint. We're coming to a spiritual mountain, and people don't listen. What kind of death would you expect? Physical place, physical death, spiritual place. All right, good. It's not rocket science. It's good stuff. Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. Now, I want us to be careful to understand this. Now, remember, this isn't a situation where they were going, la, 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 I'm not going to listen to God, right? Be careful to understand this. They did not refuse hearing the word of God. In fact, I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy. It's the fifth book of what's called the Pentateuch. Because here, God indicates that they heard him. The problem was not with hearing God. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 5. Make your way to verse 23. And then you've got a pencil in front of you. So it was, verse 23, when you heard the voice from the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire. How many of y'all have been to a big bonfire? What's the biggest bonfire you have been to? Aggie Bonfire, Texas A&M. 150 to 180 feet of wood, right? It can be seen 100 miles off the Pacific, off the coastline, the Gulf Coast. 100 miles that bonfire can be seen. I went by the bonfire 2 weeks after it collapsed. In a little bit of light rain, and still saw flames on the ground. 180 feet. Now go to a mountain that's on fire. Imagine the difference. That Aggie bonfire, you can't get from here to the vehicles when it's lit. It is too hot. Imagine a mountain like that. Scary thought. Here we go. While the mountain was burning with fire, that you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and you said, surely the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness. And we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God speaks with man, yet he still lives. They expected to die. Verse 25, now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If you took the pencil out from in front of you, circle that portion. This great fire will consume us. And remember that because we'll come back. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, we shall die. For who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire as we have and lived? You go near there, speaking to Moses now, and hear all the Lord our God may say, and tell us all that the Lord our God says to you, and we will hear it and do it. Surround that portion with a pencil. We will hear it and we will do it. Verse 28. Then the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me. And the Lord said to me, here's Moses again, I have heard the voice of the words of this people which they have spoken to you. They are right in all that they have spoken. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. There's a key in there to living a long life. Oh, that they had... What is God's desire? That these individuals who came to the base of a physical mountain had such a heart in them that they would fear Him and always keep His commandments. But like James 1:22-24 says, they were hearers of the word and not doers. Listen to James 1:22-24 as I read it to you. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Probably the best way to understand this is letting the Word of God cause you to see who you really are and then respond to it. Ladies, imagine going to the mirror. And great Mount Sinai is right there like a zit on your face. How many of you are going to say, oh, okay, I'm just going to walk off? You're going to deal with the problem. It's that simple, right? Guys might not, gals will. That's what James is saying. Look, guys, you're seeing yourself. If you are a doer of the word, if you're not a doer of the word, you're just a hearer. You're hearing only, you're deceiving yourself. You're like somebody who goes before the mirror, sees what he looks like, walks away, and then just forgets it. Just absolutely forgets it. Now, again, what happened to those at Mount Sinai who refused to follow what God said? For if they did not escape, who refused Him who spoke on earth? And what happened to them? Died in the desert. Did they go into the promised land? Did some of them? Anyone under the age of 20, because God didn't hold them accountable, and two others, Joshua and Caleb. Not my kids, but that's who they're named after. How much more, watch this, if none of them got away with it, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from Him who speaks from heaven. If we turn away from Him who speaks from heaven. Why is that so crucial, that we not turn away from Him who speaks from heaven? What have we learned, going all the way back to Hebrews 1, 7 or 8 months ago? How does the book of Hebrews start? God, who at various times and in various ways has spoken in times past to the prophets, has in these last days spoken by Son. If you're refusing Him who's speaking from heaven, who are you refusing? The Christ, the Savior. Do you see what it means to refuse to hear God today? It's the equivalent of refusing and rejecting Jesus Christ. What salvation is available when you reject Jesus Christ? Goose egg. None. Do you think those individuals will escape? They won't. They won't. And yet, individuals are going to hear what I just said, look at themselves in the mirror, and walk away and forget what was said. How is it we can take care of a zit, but we leave the sin problem in place and sin's going to cause us to go to hell? Wow. What are we really trying to fix when we look in the mirror? How we look to everybody else or how we look to God? God, who at various times in His various ways spoke by the prophets as in these last days, spoken to us by Son, so that the refusal of Him who speaks from heaven is a rejection and a refusal of Jesus Christ. So what happens there? Make your way to the New Testament. I'm going to give you a few minutes to find all of the T's because we're going to the book of 2 Thessalonians. So make your way into the book of 2 Thessalonians. All of the T's are together. And I want you to find 2 Thessalonians, and I want you to take out your pencils again because I'm going to give you a pop quiz, but I'm going to give you a hint at what the questions are before I ask them. What happens with the refusal of Him who speaks from heaven? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 8. I want you to look for two criteria here. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those, criteria number one, circle it, who do not know God. And on those, criteria number two, circle this one, who do not obey the gospel. What's the two criteria? I even told you that question was coming. Knowing God and obeying what? The gospel. What's the gospel? Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again according to the Scriptures. The gospel is you sin against God. Your sin has to be dealt with so you don't end up like the folks at Mount Sinai in a spiritual way. Jesus Christ not only died for your sins, but He was buried, and to be buried, He was raised from the dead by God Himself to say, I accept that sacrifice on behalf of those who have sinned against me. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on what two people? Here we go. Help me. What two people does He take vengeance on? They've got the answer. It's an open book test. Did you guys bring your books? You know what I'm going to start asking, by the way, in 3 weeks? In 3 weeks. I don't teach next week because Michael teaches. I don't teach the next week because we've got a business meeting. But the week after that, I'm going to ask y'all when we get here, how many of y'all brought your study guide with you? And you're going to have to flash your books. Okay, so we've got at least one open book over here. What are the two criteria for God taking vengeance on somebody? What? Verse 8. 2 Thessalonians, verse 1, chapter 1. Those who don't know God, we got one. Those who don't obey God. All right, let's try this one more time. Am I drilling this in real well? What's the two criteria for ending up in hell? First one, not knowing God. Second one, what happens to these folks? These shall be punished. Nice, Scott, verse 9. With everlasting destruction, where? From the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power when He comes in that day. This sounds a bit crude. And it's a sign we can put up, although we're going to get phone calls if we do. And the sign would say this, stop, drop, and roll doesn't work in hell. Initially the response is, dude, that's cool. And then stop and think about it for those who are in hell. And that is a significant statement. That's a heavy-hearted statement. But who are we fooling when we stand in the mirror and walk away and forget what we saw? What happens in a situation like this? At Sinai, He spoke from earth. His voice shook the earth. At Zion, when He speaks from heaven, His voice shakes heaven and earth. We see this in www.godshakes.com. Now, just to lighten up a little bit because I've drilled deep. At work, we have these machines, candy machines. They've got the little spiral thing, right? Candy gets right to the edge. So I'm walking up to the break room yesterday, and I hear boom, boom, boom on the wall. And I look in, and they say, oh, cool, there's James. So what's up? So the candy's stuck. Can you come shake the candy machine? So I go up there and do a little arm shiver, bam, and 5 pieces of candy come out of the machine. I tell them they can only take one. Now, I can shake a machine, and I can get candy out, and I have to use my hands. God's going to use His voice. He's going to shake absolutely the entire earth, and more so than just shake it, by the way. In addition to shaking the earth, everything in heaven is going to be shaken up. Everything's going to be shaken. And only that which remains will be kept. Only that which remains will be kept. Let's look. www.godshakes.com. Trying to remember even what verse this is covering up to. I guess we're in verse 25 at this point. But now He has promised 26. Thank you. It's actually halfway through it, right? But now He has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. This whole idea that He is going to indicate the removal of all things. What is this removal of all things? that he's speaking about. And I want you to understand it is both an Old Testament and a New Testament prophecy. It's both an Old Testament and a New Testament teaching. Let me read Isaiah 65, verse 17. He says, "Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind." Why a new heaven? Why a new earth? You were in somewhere in the T's. Go to the right. Make your way to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter, and hold your place in Hebrews chapter 12 because we're coming back to the last verse. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. Here we go. Did you get there? "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar." Put that in contrast to a mountain shaking. An entire mountain shaking and everything else disappearing with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by what? Fire. And the earth and everything in it will be what? Laid bare. And so since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? Isn't that a reasonable question?
Yeah, 1 Peter, 2 Peter.
2 Peter. Did I say 1st? I'm sorry. 2 Peter chapter 3. If all this stuff's going to be destroyed, he asks the question, what kind of people ought you to be? Do you want to go to a mirror and look and walk away and not realize? No, he says, you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heaven by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with this promise, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. You guys have met Claude Crace, who has some hilarious comments. He's 82 now, I guess. He's been married to Shirley Crace for 60-some-odd years. He's the one that told me what's so great about dating a homeless woman. You can drop her off anywhere. Isn't that wrong? Okay. I think part of Claude's problem is he was part of the military back in the early 40s. Early to mid-40s. And he was at a place, don't let the name bother you, called Bikini Atoll. Don't let the name bother you. These are tiny islands called the Bikini Atoll Islands, if I'm correct, right? Those of you who remember what happened to Bikini Atoll, tell me what went on at Bikini Atoll. We detonated two nuclear weapons. One above a bunch of ships and one beneath the surface. The most common footage today of a nuclear weapon shows the one that was detonated underneath the water that comes up in this huge plume. When they detonated above the ship, they had a bunch of ships out in the area. And I know this because I'm getting this firsthand from talking to Claude, who was there at both detonations. Not right on top of them, mind you, but far enough away, obviously. After they detonated the one above the ships, there was a Japanese ship that didn't sink. Big old ship. It made them mad. So they got on the ship and they were checking things out, but they also put demolition stuff all over, bombs all over the place. They were going to sink this ship, and they did. But they're on this ship, and a guy walks up to Claude Crace with a Geiger counter that measures your nuclear reactivity, if you will, how well you're going to glow in the dark, is really what it is. And he's telling Claude, he said, "Claude, you can be on the ship 10, maybe 15 minutes. And Claude says, "I've been here an hour and a half." And so they take Claude and they scrub him and scrub him. Essentially, they peel a layer of his skin off. But I remember reading Claude's writing about this. First thing Claude asks at the end of his paper is, he says, "Will I ever live to be an old man?" Because of all the nuclear radiation he encountered. But in the midst of his recount, his historical account of being at both those detonations, he says this: if God's going to destroy the earth, the way it says in Peter, this is a pretty good way of doing it. Imagine the worst nuclear weapon. That's Mount Sinai. What God's going to do is going to wipe the entire planet. And the question is, what type of person should you be? How does Hebrews chapter 12 close? You should memorize this verse. "For our God is a consuming fire." Where have you heard that before? You circled it in Deuteronomy chapter 5. They were afraid because God would consume us. And the reality is, if you don't come to God, He's going to consume you. How? How? In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who don't know God and on those who don't obey the gospel. You have the gospel. And if you don't by this point, shame on you. I've been here 19 months and twice a week I've declared the gospel. John is taught on Sunday nights. You might as well make it three times a week you've heard the gospel, because when John was teaching on Sunday nights, he preached it too. Taught what the gospel is. It's Jesus Christ and salvation. But individuals are still coming up to spiritual mirrors and walking away. How shall we escape if we do not listen to Him who speaks from heaven? Who's speaking from heaven? It's Christ Himself. Reject Christ, you're rejecting God. Let's pray.